The story behind the song. Never cease to wonder at the miracle of a sightless person achieving some outstanding accomplishment, living a life of beauty, of contentment, of service. So it was with Fanny Crosby, whose more than 2,000 gospel hymns have been sung and resung throughout English-speaking nations. When Miss Crosby was 71 years old, she was invited to attend the summer conference, which Ira D. Sankey, the noted singing evangelist, was conducting at his home. On the closing day, the blind writer was seated on the platform with Sankey and his associates.
My friends, I know that many of you have watched with very sincere interest and tenderness a very dear friend of yours and mine here today upon this rostrum. I have persuaded her to say just a few words to us at this time. Of course, I mean Fanny Crosby. All right, Miss Crosby. There you are. That's the table right in front of you.
Oh, thank you, Ira. Dear friends, all during my life, I have received hundreds upon hundreds of letters and personal messages expressing regret for what I presume the world calls my affliction. On that day so many, many years ago, it may have been a blunder on the physician's part. Certainly, it was no mistake of God's. I verily believe that it was God's intention that I should live my days in physical darkness so as to be better prepared to sing his praise and incite others so to do. Of course, someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the king, and I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace.
Here, let me help you to your chair, Miss Crosby.
Thank you, Ira.
Where, oh, where did you get those beautiful verses?
Oh, you ought to know, Ira. Those are the verses I gave you 3 years ago. I suppose they're tucked away safely in your desk with my other unpublished hymns.
Needless to say, Ira Sankey saw to it that the verses were immediately retrieved, and shortly afterward, George C. Stebbins set them to music to become the great hymn Saved by Grace. In the year 1880, in St. Louis, Missouri, one of the most dangerous men with whom the police of that city were forced to deal was a many-time offender known as Valentine Burke. In the office of the sheriff one day...
Well, Burke, back again, huh?
Yep.
How old are you, Burke?
How old? Oh, I don't know. About 40, I guess.
40. And how many years have you spent in jails around the country?
Gee, Sheriff, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you. I've looked it up. More than 20 years, Burke. More than half your life.
Yeah? Well, what about it?
Oh, nothing. Take him away. Lock him up.
Yes, sir. Come on, Burke.
That's funny, ain't it?
What's funny?
Half my life in jail. Some record, huh?
Mm. Here you are.
Hey, who are you putting in here with me?
It's your old pal, Valentine Burke, Buzz.
Burke? Hey, you should ought to be paying rent by this time, Burke.
Shut up. Now, you two boys try to get along, because you're going to be in here for a long time. Well, pleasant dreams, boys.
What you in for this time, Buzz?
None of your business. Go to bed.
Got anything to read?
There's a copy of Globe Democrat on the floor.
Yeah? Hey, Buzz.
Yeah?
Look at this.
What are you talking about?
What it says here in the paper. Listen to this. How the jailer at Philippi was caught. What do you know about that?
Nothing. Go to sleep.
Say, I remember a town in Illinois called Philippi. If that is the town, that jail would have been a cinch this spring. What the... Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Hey, something's happened to the Globe Democrat. Good night, Buzz.
All right.
Finally, as the night wore on toward dawn, wide awake, the prisoner sprang from his iron cot, snatched the paper from the spot where he had flung it, and scrambled toward the window, through which were glowing the first faint rays of the morning.
Thou shalt be saved. Say, what's this? Dwight L. Moody. Know who that guy is. He's a preacher. Yeah, he's in town here. This must have been what he said yesterday. Thou shalt be saved. I wonder what people do when they pray.
God, are you listening to me? My name's Burke, God. I ain't been a good man. But if there's any way for me to change, if there's anything I can do now, even after I spend half my life in jail, well, just let me know what it is, God. Will you? Don't forget, my name's Burke.
I wonder, did he hear me?
Was it mere coincidence, then, that on the next day, Sunday, there appeared a group of the followers of Dwight L. Moody holding services in that St. Louis jailhouse?
Tell the story, saved by grace, and I shall see him face to face, and tell the story,
speaking to me?
Yeah, I just heard that song you were singing. What's it called?
Saved by Grace. It's a hymn written by Fanny Crosby.
Oh, yeah? Say, you know, I'd like to know more about what you were just saying a few minutes ago.
You would? What's your name?
Burke. Valentine Burke.
Yes. I'll speak to the sheriff.
Will you? Thanks.
That was a good one, Burke. Yeah, the old religion dodge. That's good.
You don't know what you're talking about, Buzz. For the first time in my life, I feel clean inside.
After some weeks, during which Burke held daily meetings with members of the Moody group, he was brought to trial, and through some technicality, he was released. And suddenly, he dropped from sight. It was not until months later that he was again seen in and around St. Louis, apprehended and taken to the office of the sheriff.
Hello, Burke.
Hello, Sheriff. Well, what is it this time? Same old charges?
What have you been doing, Burke? Where have you been?
Oh, I skipped town after I got my release, went to New York, tried to get a job.
Did you?
No. Who'd hire a guy with a record like mine?
I would, Burke.
Huh?
I didn't believe what you told me when you left here, that Mr. Moody's people had brought about a change in your life and that you was going straight. So I had you shadowed. I've known where you were every minute since you left here.
Gee. Yeah?
Well, there's an old saying, it takes a thief to catch a thief. Did you ever hear that one?
Well, yeah.
Burke, how would you like to go to work for me?
Gee, Sheriff. Do you mean it?
Sure, I mean it. Take off your coat. You started to work this morning.
Would you like to hear the sequel to this story? There is one. The scene is the office of the sheriff once more, 15 years later. A young deputy enters, bundling ahead of him a disreputable transient.
Hey, Val.
Yeah?
I just picked up this bum down on Washington Avenue by the river. What'll I do with him?
Oh, you might just...
Hey, wait a minute.
What's the matter?
I know that guy. You're Valentine Burke.
That's right.
Don't you remember me? I'm Buzz. Buzz Bean.
Oh, well, hello, Buzz.
Well, for the love of Pete. How long have you been here? What are you doing in this place?
I work here, Buzz. Been here for 15 years. I'm a deputy sheriff.
No. You, Valentine Burke, one of the toughest guys would ever hit St. Louis? A deputy sheriff.
That's right.
Well, I'll be. Well, what's happened to you, Burke? What come over you?
15 years ago, I read a newspaper and heard a song.
What?
Yep. That's right, Buzz. I heard a song.
Someday the fear.